Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to lighten up. Ooh, I so need that. I just need to clear the air, clear the energy, and say, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about a New Age children's book. And isn't that so exciting? The book is Will's Adventure to the Candy Mountain, written by Dr. Jerry Haller. And it's a very exciting book because it just takes us on an adventure that lightens our senses. It just is. It's not something that it's hitting you over the head with a lesson. It's not something that says, oh, you need to follow this way. It is not fearful. It's not scary, and it doesn't bring us into those old-time children's stories that would say, you know, let's talk about the princess and the swords and all of this other mythical stuff. It's truly about how do we engage in the world around us today? How do we learn compassion, kindness, and thankfulness? And how do we be light of life? Whew, that's what I needed today was light of life. Dr. Haller, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us to share about your new book.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be with you. I just enjoy listening to you so much.
Oh, Dr. Jerry, I think, you know, sometimes we say we just need to delight in the kind of the moment, and we just want to gravitate toward children, yes?
That is so true. My grandson, Will, is just so smart in his ways. He's the one who enjoyed this story when I told it to him as a child. And he said to me one day, Grandma, you know what? This book is too good to read just to Quinn and I. You must share it with the whole world. Every child needs to hear this book. So he encouraged me to sit down and write it. And so I did. And now I find out that all the children who pick up the book just love it. I can't believe it. It just, you know, Will was right, you know.
Well, I think it's very cool. I think the idea is how we share our stories, how we share our life paths. You know, when I look at my grandchildren, they each have their own individual names that their parents gave them. But I said, wow, one child, I call him Joy. The other little girl, I call her Wisdom. And the other little girl, I call her Magic. When you look at them, it's almost what's emanating from them. I think children these days, we say, they are so different from even children that were born 20 years ago. And they are so, they have a different light. They seem to have a different frequency coming out of them. They speak almost a different language. They have a sense of knowing and compassion and just unconditional love that's emanating from them, don't you think?
I think, and it's funny because the only one that has gotten renamed of my grandchildren was Will, and we call him Sweet Will. Because he is so sweet and so kind and so nice and so happy. He's just a joy to be around. And, you know, any time he opens his mouth, that something sweet will come out.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? And that just takes you right to your book, Will's Adventure, and talking about the Candy Mountain. What I loved about your book, Will's Adventure to the Candy Mountain, it just took you on a light journey. It had tons of color to the book. It was very engaging. Children could sit there and listen, and you did not know the story from one page to the next. Don't you think excitement and enthusiasm is very important when you're reading a children's book?
Yes, and that's why we created all these different, or I created all these different adventures that they went on, because it wasn't just one story to the Candy Mountain. It was also going to all these different places they could see and finding more people that would bring more joy to their lives, and they would bring more joy to the other people's lives.
Right. And it was also, too, that when they were going to Candy Mountain, they were already also seeing other things, like they saw the tall buildings, and they saw the stars, and they saw the trees and the animals. I think it's also, too, about, are we enjoying our life path each day? In other words, when we go outside, are we just focused on getting where we have to go to do what we have to do and then turn around and reverse and repeat? Or can we engage with children right as they onset, as they step out the door? Wow, that's a flower. I didn't see it yesterday. Did you? Oh, my gosh, look up in the sky. There's so many clouds today. I wonder how the day will play out. Don't you think it's about the adventure of the journey versus just the end result?
Yes, it is. The funny thing about it is that I was in the hospital downtown in Chicago, and my grandchildren live in a suburb. And Quinn called me up at the hospital, and he said to me, "Grandma, can you see the lights out the window?" And I said, "Yes, I can. I could see the big city." He says, "You could see the big city with all those wonderful lights?" And I said, "Yes." And he said to me, "Can you see the trains?" And I said, "Yes, I could see the trains going to the Candy Mountain." Mm-hmm. And he just talked to me and asked me every question about the excitement of going on an adventure and all the things you could see when you were there. And he wanted to make sure that I could see all of that because he knew about it on the way to the Candy Mountain.
Yes, that's so exciting. I think that, you know, the idea, I can remember when I used to be a child in the 50s, a long time ago. And we used to always, when we would get in the car, it was open up the windows and look out the windows, you know, see what was out there. We always would be doing that. There were no radios on in the car. There were no other whatever to keep you busy. You had to look out the window, otherwise you'd be pretty bored or else you fell asleep. Now children are kind of focused on these microcosms of either it's a something as a tablet or a phone or something else in the car, or the parents are focused on their micro things, and the children are engaged in that. So don't you think sometimes it's very expansive to show children there's so much more around them outside of all of these electronics, yes?
Right, and my big thing was anytime I came to visit, no electronics. Let's just visit and enjoy each other because time goes so fast and you need to be in the time. With these games in front of their face all the time, they're not seeing anything. They're not learning anything. They're not learning joy and happiness and enjoying the moment.
Yeah. It's more like how can we bring human engagement? How can we bring human interaction? How can we see give and take between two people versus understanding from a mental way, an ego way, or a mind way, how that interaction should be? And kids would say, "Oh, I get it. I know what I'm supposed to do," and then they move on, instead of actually feeling it in their heart and soul. Your book really truly is about what do you feel in your senses, you know, kindness. You can feel thankfulness. You could feel gratitude. You could feel the adventure. You could feel excitement. On every page of your book, it does express a feeling, yes?
Yes. And I, of course, deliberately did that. I wanted children to be able to think about and express those types of feelings. I find when a child picks up my book, which was amazing to me, I never thought this would happen, but they look at it and they flip through the pages, and I've seen every one of them look at the book and then hold it to their chest like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe this." and they want the book.
Yeah.
So I think they all want to go on that adventure. I even saw my doctor do it. He knew I was writing a book, and he asked me for one. And when I brought it, he did the same thing the children did. He flipped through the pages, and then he held it up to his chest like they did. And he said, "I can't wait to read this book to my four-year-old."
Yes. Because it just, you can feel their energy. And it's sort of like when you're sitting down reading a book to a child and you can feel their energy, no matter what's going on with you being the reader, it truly helps you shift. I think even if you're having like a day where you say, oh, I can't wait to finish this book. I've got to go to bed, or I've got to go back to work, or whatever it might be. When you read the book, it kind of brings you into the story, and you're able to say, I am focused here. And I think sometimes we read books and we are saying, oh, I know the words, you know, it kind of goes da-da-da-da-da, and you read it out and then you're done. And then you wonder why your child is still up at night, you know. But sometimes when you're engaged in it, it just seems to relax both the reader and the child. And isn't that the engagement you're looking for?
Yes, it was funny before I made it into a book, and I would just tell the story, and my grandsons were just so into the story, and they just always loved it so much, and they would tell me to say the story over and over and over again because they loved to be in the Candy Mountain. Right. And that was why Will said all children need to hear this book. You have to write it. Because he wanted everybody to share that feeling that he got about going to the Candy Mountain.
Don't you think, Dr. Jerry, also, too, that sometimes children have a difficult day and they do need to have a light story. They need to have a different adventure. And sometimes when we can help them shift, rather than saying, oh, it'll be better tomorrow, or, oh, just refocus, or, hey, let's go meditate kind of idea, where a lot of New Age people do these days, a light little story, the child will kind of like, it phases out of their memory. It doesn't hold on to them so tightly, and they're able to relax. I think that we all know, I mean, the idea of, you know, going on an adventure with a kindred friend, as they did on the train, you would be able to say, it will be okay, and just find those little loving moments. Don't you think they need those to be able to understand that they can find those in life?
I believe that they do, and the funny thing about it is that when I was finished telling the story, Will would say to me, Grandma, lay down with me and hug me real tight.
Right.
And then Quinn would want to be hugged really tight also. And there's a younger brother, Wally, and Will would say to Wally, you've got to hear Grandma's story. You're going to love it. And he would be like, no, I don't want to listen to it. And then I'd start the story. And the next thing I know, he'd be rolling over. He'd be looking at me. His mind would be into this story. And he would relax.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Jerry, we don't want to give away the story of the trip to Candy Mountain, but also, too, I think that sometimes children feel alone on an adventure. And when on the Candy Mountain, it was about your character really finds another person to go along with him. And they learn how to cooperate, they learn how to ask for help, and they learn how to enjoy the adventure along the way. And don't you think that's very important? Sometimes kids say, well, I really don't know how to ask for help, or I'm afraid to ask for help, or I'm afraid to be alone. Do you think your book gently takes them into what that might look like in their life?
Yes, it does. I mean, just the coming together of Will and Quinn and becoming really good friends through this whole adventure, because there were so many adventures that they went on, and they decided on what to do on each one of these adventures. They both came together and made a decision.
Yes.
so it shows the importance of making decisions and not one person bossing you and saying, well, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way.
Right.
The two of them always came together and said, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? And
mm-hmm.
there was always the, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's almost like if they honored each other. There was no dissonance, do you know what I mean? There was
right.
no arguing back and forth, or there was no, oh, well, one is bigger, better, or bolder than the other. There was always this kindness. Your book truly is a kind, sweet message. It has nothing of some of the, we're going to fight them and become warriors and put on our Superman cape, you know?
Right.
Sometimes kids don't feel like they want to be a Superman or a warrior. They feel that they need the tender moment. And I think your book is a tender moment, do you think?
Right. In order for them to go on this adventure and to be chosen for it, they had to be a person who was a good person inside and out, and they had to do good things, and that's how they would be chosen to go.
Yeah.
So we had these people with good hearts coming together and
mm-hmm.
working together and, you know, enjoying life. They just really enjoyed being at the Candy Mountain.
Right. And don't you think that sometimes kids these days, there's so much out there. I almost look at a child and I see all of these rotating worlds around them. In other words, the one that they came in with, which was so much potential and so much joy and excitement. And then we put them into school and we've got this other one that's kind of like, ooh, that squeaky, rusty wheel where supposed to be learning, but almost like school is pushing old dogma down them, you know, and they're kind of like, oh, this doesn't fit. And then when they get out, it's kind of their parents are kind of saying, oh, but this is the world and this is the real world, you know. So isn't it almost as if a child has to choose between that which their unconscious and subconscious is saying and they came in with versus the conscious world in which either they're taught in school based on history of the past, or their parents in which they're saying this is reality and it's a bump and bruising kind of world. How do you navigate all of that with children these days? Because you're an educator, yes?
I am, and I've worked with teaching many teachers how to become better at what they are doing. And the biggest thing that you could do for children is to motivate them. And when you motivate them, they want to seek their own knowledge, and they want to go further and further about what you are teaching. So the importance is motivation of the brain. And, of course, what's the best way to learn or want to do anything in life is you have to be motivated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Even to ride a bike, whatever it is. There has to be that motivation.
How do you draw that out of children when they are in the face of adults that are around them? In other words, we, you know, like just as you share about, you know, your grandchildren and I share about my kids, it's how do you allow that and as parents stand back and say, I'm going to allow it. I'm going to see how this plays out. Do you think that that's a very fearful place for educators and parents to say these children, let's see where they would like to take us versus cloning or trying to put upon them the story? How do we do that?
You know, it's absolutely amazing about motivation. I had a little boy in my school who was in special education, and he couldn't read one single word. But he wanted to be in the Harry Potter book club.
Mm.
So he came to me and he said, what can I do? I want to be in the Harry Potter book club, but I can't read. And I said to him, you know what? I can help you because mm-hmm. I have tapes. I have a Harry Potter book and I have a Harry Potter tape to go with it. And I showed him, I sat him down, I opened the book, and I said, as you are hearing the story, run your finger underneath each word that you hear.
Right.
And so he took my book and he went home, and I said, you must go to your bedroom where it's nice and quiet and nobody bothers you, and you need to go through the book. Well, he loved Harry Potter so much. It was so much motivational for him. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. And he went through each of these books many, many, many times. And when the tests came at the end of the year, and we tested him and got his scores, he was a fifth grade reader.
Wow.
From nothing to fifth grade in a year.
Yeah.
That was the motivation that he had to want to be in that Harry Potter club. So how do you put that motivation into the classroom or as a parent, because you need to motivate your child to go to school and to learn and to do many things, get
right.
into sports or whatever they want to be in. But it all takes motivation.
Yeah, I think we kind of have to take cues from the children to see what they're exploring. In other words, if they get up and they want to open up their window in the car and they want to look outside, you can teach them geography. You can teach them nature. You could teach them astronomy. Right, but I think sometimes parents say, but I don't know anything about that. Well, isn't it truly about the parents joining with the child on the journey?
Yes, it is truly amazing, because I know that my oldest grandson, Kevin, was motivated by, you know, looking at the stars and everything and the planets, and he started to put it up on the ceiling in his room.
Yeah.
And so he had the sky up on the ceiling in his room, and he would look up at the sky all the time and look for these different stars and planets and everything. And so the motivation behind it also was the parents who helped him to do this whole sky in his room. He had planets hanging and did all kinds of things with them. But it's like what you say, the looking out of the window and seeing the stars and thinking about it. And what is there to know about it? Like when we were children and we would go, my dad used to have a Sunday ride. We used to go on a Sunday ride, and we would go and look at all the different things and have the windows open, like you said.
Right.
And one day we took our dog with, and we were out by O'Hare Airport, mm-hmm. but it wasn't built yet. And my dad took a quick corner around to go back the other way, and our dog fell out the window.
Oh, no.
Yes, but the dogs are okay. They land on their feet. So we had to go and get our dog and bring the dog back and put it in the car.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, and I still even remember, you know, driving and just seeing nothing but cornfields and cornfields and cornfields.
Right.
But I always remember seeing Drive with Care and Buy Sinclair. They used to have these signs on the fences.
Yeah, and didn't Sinclair, wasn't that the gas that had the green dinosaurs that were soap?
Yes.
You know, we're showing our age, Dr. Jerry. We're showing our age.
That's okay.
You used to buy a dollar's worth of gas to fill up your tank. And
you could go for a ride, huh?
Right, and then you would get these green dinosaur soaps.
Yeah.
You know, I think that sometimes when we share our stories with children, we love to be able to laugh and engage with them, and I think they can feel that also within us. So I think as mm-hmm. elders, you know, reading to children is like, share your story along with the book, just as your book, again, The Candy Mountain, it shares about seeing trees and going into the suburbs and seeing the buildings and the stars. You can also stop on each page and say, have you ever seen it, to the children? But the children might also, you can teach them to ask you, where did you see stars last? Where did you see them now? How did you see them when you were a child? And I think that's really You know, even a 20-page book can become like, you know, a whole week-long seance kind of idea, because you're really going back and forth and engaging and loving the journey, don't you think?
Yes. I know that when my grandsons were younger, every Sunday my husband and I used to take them someplace. We would go down to the railroad stations down in southern Illinois, and we would get to see Thomas the Train down there, but we would get to see trains that, excuse me, but I hate to say this again, that we rode in when we were young.
Right, right.
And so they could see it. You know, they could see the different kinds of cars, the sleeper car, the car you went to have your dinner in, and all these different things that they had never seen before. And climbing up into these big old trains were just like unbelievable to them. They would go from one car to the next and one train to the next, or they might get on a trolley, which they never saw, and ride a trolley up and down the tracks. So there was so much there for them to see and to enjoy and to ask questions about. And there were plenty of questions asked about all these things. And that's why it's important to have a book like The Candy Mountain, so you can discuss all these things.
Right. You know, in closing, Dr. Jerry, I think also, too, I love kids' books, and I say to adults and to the children, date the pages. You know, write down a little story on a page and then date it. Because when children come back later to see these books, you can see how the world has changed. You can see how your grandmother may have touched your heart and left you a little message on the page. It's all about writing in books. And what I loved about your book is that it was big and you had free space to be able to do that. I think sometimes and people say, oh, but don't do that. You don't want it to hurt the book. And I'm like, no, we want to. We want to engage in it. We want to feel as if we have been there. So I love books like yours. It's like, don't forget, read in the page, write it. You know, Grandma read this on this so-and-so date. Or Grandma told me this story, and then write the story on the page and date it. And isn't that exciting, too?
Yes, I never thought about that before, but it's great idea. And I insisted on the book being that size because I wanted them to be able to clearly see the mountains and see where they were going and what was going on in the story. So, you know, anybody who wanted to print it smaller, I didn't want that because you couldn't see the beauty of the mountains or going to the Candy Mountain unless the pages were big enough to be able to see it. And I think that's what I watch when a child picks up the book for the first time and they flip through the pages. And that's why I see them hold it to their chest like, oh, my goodness, this adventure is so beautiful and I can't wait to get into it. And the excitement in their faces. And I've even been watching, like, older children, 12, 13. I find 12-year-olds really like the book and want to read it. But older brothers and sisters who take a look at the book and say, I want to buy this book because I need to read this to my brother, my little brother, my little sister. And so many people who will, you know, see my book and say, I have to buy it for them because this will be good for them. And I always think about how good it will be for both of them. Because they will be sharing the story and telling their younger brother or sister and seeing the excitement and happiness on their face. Right. I never thought that I would see that on other children's faces. I knew it was there on my grandchildren's face, but I never expected it to be on the face of other children that I meet whenever I go to an author signing. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe it.
Yeah. It's very exciting, Dr. Jerry, when we're able to share stories with children and to be able to see it, how we can touch their hearts and souls. You know, I thank you so much. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful. How do they get the book?
Well, Westwood Books has my book. You can get it for from them, and it's also at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's called Will's Adventure to the Candy Mountain.com.
Very good.
Really easy.
Yes, it is. Well, Dr. Jerry, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. We thank you so much for sharing your children's story with us. And I know so many children, but also elders and adults will love it as well.
Well, I'm finding that out, that when I was at the Miami Book Fair, I had 75 books. And in 1 hour, 75 people came to have it signed. And in that line were mothers, fathers, grandparents, and children. I couldn't believe it, and they were all happy, and they all couldn't wait to get their hands on the book. I really hadn't expected that to happen either, but it does. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants to read it to their grandchildren. In fact, I have to tell Will that he wanted it to go all over the world. And there was a couple there from China, and they have the book. And so now I joked and I said to them, now the book will be in China. And they said yes. So now Will has his wish. Children from all over the world must see the book and read it.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, Dr. Jerry, this show is global. Only about 68% of the show is in the U.S. So you can tell Will that better than, what is 68 from 100? Okay, whatever. better than 30% or sometimes 40%
right.
of this radio show will reach all of those global countries. We are in South Africa. We are in Switzerland. We are in Asia. We are in Poland. We are everywhere. So he can be very excited to know his story has reached there, yes?
Yes, he'll be excited to listen to this and find out about it.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Jeanette, for asking me. I feel so privileged.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Jerry Haller, again, the book is Will's Adventure to the Candy Mountain. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page to go directly to her website. And it truly is about being able to say, how can we engage a story with a child and be able to feel touched in our heart, our body, and our soul? It's not about just reading words and saying, hey, oh yeah, I can tell you my story, and it's a story of troubles or challenges or even of history or of the past. Children nowadays are really looking for engaging stories, and they want them in the moment. They want them to be light, and they want them to be exciting and adventurous. So definitely Will's Adventurous. Will's Adventure to the Candy Mountain is all of that. It is a very light story. It is definitely something to delight the heart and the soul. Please do check it out. And this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.